Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to the Wire to Wire podcast. As always, it's me, your host Yusuf. Now, without further ado, let's just get right to it. Well, damn. The drama has been heating up in the world of basketball. And it's funny because there are parallels in all of these different scenarios that I'm going to discuss. Now, for that reason, I decided to put these into one episode, even though they could each easily be their own. So what am I talking about? Within the past 48 hours, we got Drake versus DeRozan, Joel Embiid versus a Philadelphia Inquirer columnist, and of course the main event, Kevin Durant versus Stephen A. Smith. So let's dive into this. So let's start with Drake and DeRozan. So DeMar DeRozan, born and raised in Compton, used to play for the Toronto Raptors and was drafted by the team in 2009. When Drake became the ambassador for the Toronto Raptors, they forged a friendship, and they even appeared on a Slam magazine cover together with Kyle Lowry as well. Now, they appeared to have a friendship, and DeRozan acknowledged Drake as being a supportive friend back in 2021. Now, fast forward to this year, and Drake was in a high-profile beef with Kendrick Lamar, among many other artists, which was covered extensively on this podcast. Now, Kendrick released Not Like Us, and DeRozan went on stage for his Kenny and Friends pop-out show, and he also appeared in the Not Like Us video. So Drake clearly saw this and had many choice words for him. Now, on a live broadcast interview, he referred to DeRozan as a goofy numerous times and also said if they retired his jersey, he would take it down himself. Now, here's the audio clip of him saying that.
Yes, if you ever put a DeRozan banner up, I'll go up there and pull it down myself. That's the answer to the question.
DeRozan, who was told about these comments, said this.
Well, he's going to have a long way to climb to take it down, so tell him good luck.
After the game was done, Drake can be seen mouthing the phrase, effing P-word, referencing female genitalia. DeRozan then went to Instagram and posted on his story a scene from Friday where Chris Tucker's character said he only talks behind Debo's back, which is a play on DeRozan's nickname, Debo. So, what do I make of this? I believe that Drake is in the right. Listen, you can't lack that much self-awareness that you'll jump on stage like a groupie or be in a music video and appear at the part where he's essentially insulting Drake and the city of Toronto and expect to still be cool with Drake or be neutral in the situation. Now, Kendrick accused Drake of being into minors. How dumb are you to associate yourself with that and think you can still be cool with him? Here's the thing. DeRozan was being used as a prop by Kendrick to troll Drake. But DeRozan, with all due respect, just doesn't strike me as the sharpest tool in the shed, because he couldn't even see that he was being used as a prop. Now, you picked your side. So Drake has every right to grill you at the game, mean mug you, and refer to you as female parts. It is what it is. And in regards to DeRozan's jersey being retired, because that was a big discussion on social media, now I believe at some point it will be, but the Raptors will more so do it out of pity and as an act of generosity, more than DeRozan actually deserving it for basketball reasons. Now, DeRozan was drafted in 2009, and after Bosch left the team in 2010, they were perpetual bottom feeders, winning 22 games in 2011, 23 games in 2012, and 34 games in 2013 before finally making the playoffs in 2014, which they went on to lose in the first round to the Brooklyn Nets. And then they got swept in 2015, thanks to a major choke job by DeRozan. And then in 2016, they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Cavaliers, right, where once again DeRozan was a choke artist. In 2017 and 2018, they were swept by the Cavaliers, and DeRozan did what he does best. He choked, and he surrendered to LeBron. As soon as they traded him on July 18, 2018 for Kawhi Leonard, what ended up happening? The Raptors won their first ever championship in June 2019, something that he failed to do because he's not that guy. DeRozan is the most mentally fragile player I've ever seen in my life. No disrespect to him personally. It's just the truth. Now, I was watching those years, and it was a pathetic showing for him. Now, look, I get it. The guy deals with mental health issues, and I'm very understanding and empathetic towards people who battle with it. Life isn't easy, and everyone deals with their challenges. So I'm very empathetic and understanding of it. But here's why, when it comes to DeMar DeRozan, I'm not willing to be as gracious. When you were parading around with Kendrick, while Drake was in this heated battle against many opponents, did you stop to think how this could affect his mental state? Did you even care? Or are you such a clout chaser that you just love the attention that you were getting from it? Now, DeRozan wants to spread awareness and be the so-called activist for mental health, but he doesn't practice what he preaches. When Drake had your back, why didn't you have his? Now, to give you guys context, I'm going to play you guys a clip of DeRozan on Shannon Sharpe's Club Shay Shay podcast back in 2021, and I want you guys to hear what he had to say about Drake being supportive and having his back after he got traded. So listen to this.
Went to Drake after you were traded. What did you guys talk about?
Man, we just really sat there and, you know, but besides basketball, everything, just the reassurance of, like, you know, that was my partner. That was a right. friend. That was a friend of mm-hmm. mine that was like, man, get away from everything. I know it's crazy. I couldn't even turn on TV that day. Phone was going crazy. I just went over there and we sat and talked for hours, mm-hmm. ate, sat and talked. And I think more than anything, just him being there for me as a friend,
right?
First and foremost, you know, and no matter what, you know, when it come to him, he'll forever have a friend in me and loyalty out of me because, you know, he cared.
Yeah, you
know,
he was there for you.
He was there for me when everything was just going crazy, right. You know, and kind of just got me settled in a sense of, like, you know, you're going to get past it. Don't even worry about it.
So you guys heard what he had to say. So as you guys heard from him, Drake had his back and was there for him. But now when Drake's back was against the wall, he couldn't do the same for him and reciprocate that level of friendship. And the reason why I sound very adamant and passionate about this is that I genuinely don't respect people that are fake friends. Now here's the deal. As someone who was born and raised in Toronto, I can say that Drake did more for this city and the Raptors organization than DeMar DeRozan could ever dream of. That's why when Kawhi won that championship for the city, DeRozan was at home watching like the rest of us. He was the weak link holding the team back, and they needed a real superstar like Kawhi Leonard to get the job done. Now, if I'm Drake, after seeing the stunt that this guy pulled, I would use whatever influence I could to delay or prevent DeMar DeRozan from ever getting his jersey retired. Drake was accused of being something disgusting, and he ended up getting betrayed by DeRozan, who was a former friend. So there's no rules or code of conduct at that point. And it's interesting, because when the beef was happening and Drake was posting things on his story, that was considered weak. But it's subtly okay and cool when DeRozan does it. Now, I've never really been particularly fond of DeRozan since his Raptor days. And this situation, it really does nothing to ingratiate him to me more. But like I said, the Raptors will probably retire his jersey out of pity, seeing as to how some Raptor fans actually like him for the time that he spent here. But if we're talking strictly basketball, I don't think he deserves it. Now, I would say Kawhi Leonard, for his one season of delivering a title and playing historically great basketball on that playoff run, he deserves to have his jersey retired. Kyle Lowry deserves to have his jersey retired. And Chris Bosh deserves to have his jersey retired. And all of these guys deserve to have their jersey retired over DeMar DeRozan and before DeMar DeRozan. There's no doubt about it. But this situation, it's really why I don't trust people and I prefer to keep to myself. Because at any moment, a person can switch up on you. Plus, you have those snakes out there who in your face, they act like they're cool with you, but behind your back, it's a completely different story. And sometimes you can't really tell who is who. So you have to exercise a lot of caution. And that's why I move the way that I move, with caution. Because I learned that we have to protect ourselves in a world full of DeMar DeRozans. Now, the next piece of drama to come out of the NBA was Stephen A. Smith versus Kevin Durant. Now, KD and Stephen A., they have a history. Now, Stephen A. reported that KD was interested in joining the Knicks in free agency, which Kevin Durant denied and said Stephen A. was lying. Stephen A. then went on ESPN First Take and said, "You don't want to make an enemy out of me." You know, basically threatening the guy, right? But it appeared that they squashed their differences when they collaborated together on numerous occasions. He appeared on KD's show, The Boardroom, and was even involved in a couple of film projects by KD's production company. But I guess the beef has been reignited. Recently, on October 24th, Stephen A. Smith questioned Kevin Durant's leadership and said that his lack of leadership is a reason why he thinks the Suns are not serious contenders to win a championship. And then recently, Kevin Durant did an interview with The Athletic, and he responded to those criticisms by Stephen A. Smith by saying the following. "Yeah, Stephen A., I don't understand how people even listen to Stephen A. I've been in the league for 18 years. I've never seen Stephen A. at a practice or a film session or a shoot around. I've never seen him anywhere but on TV talking shit about players. He's a clown to me. He's always been a clown. You can write that too." Now, Stephen A. Smith, not one known for being an inobtrusive person, responded on First Take and on his podcast by saying the following.
"I got bad news for Kevin Durant. if you're expecting me to reciprocate with that kind of pettiness and childishness, it's not going to happen. Kevin Durant is one of the greatest players to have ever played this game. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's a two-time champion, a two-time league finals MVP. And I've been on the record saying he's also a good dude. So if he wants to resort to that level, even though we're both grown men, and if he had something to say, he knows my number, and he refrains from doing so, that's what he has to live with. But having said all of that, respectfully, Kevin Durant, could you stop lying, please? I've been an NBA reporter, and I was a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer as well. Kevin Durant has seen me in the locker room when he was at Oklahoma City. He has seen me in the locker room when he was at Golden State. He has certainly seen me at games throughout his career. But unfortunately for him, I don't have to be at shoot around. And I don't have to be in the post-game locker room. I happen to have a hit show that's been number one for 12 years. I have other things to do with my time. I go to games all the time. I'm not a beat writer anymore. So let's get that out the way. The other thing that I would say is this, respectfully. Kevin Durant is going to have to answer this question. Who's allowed to talk about him? Charles Barkley played this game as a Hall of Famer. He got a Charles Barkley. Shannon Sharpe is a Super Bowl champion, a three-time Super Bowl champion and a Hall of Famer. He got a Shannon. He's gotten at players, the C.J. McCollums of the world, the Dennis Schroeders of the world, and others. He's gotten at fans. And, oh, by the way, did it discreetly because he had, accounts that didn't reveal who he was, okay? So there's a whole bunch of things. So I don't understand it. It's contemporaries and colleagues. It's former players. It's present players. It's the media. It's the fans. It's whomever. You know, is anyone allowed to talk about Kevin Durant? Anybody at all? Because I don't understand it. I really don't get it. I'm a clown. That's why your team called me to be a part of your documentary? That's why y'all called me? Because I was a clown? Your company. You run the show. You executive produced it. How come y'all called me? When you had the boardroom and you were sitting down to interview people one-on-one, didn't you call me to do that interview? By the way, didn't you show up on First Take? Sitting right across from me? A clown. Kevin Durant, can anybody talk about you? I just need to know. I just need clarity. After departing from Oklahoma City, sitting across from me, you said you wanted to play a better brand of basketball. Well, then what was the excuse for leaving to go to Brooklyn? Everybody thinks it's just about Kyrie. It was about Kenny Atkinson being there. It was about you signing off on Steve Nash being the head coach when he had no experience on any level to be a head coach. It was about you making sure that Brooklyn embraced Kyrie because Brooklyn didn't want Kyrie. They wanted you, and you made it clear they were not getting you unless Kyrie arrived. You figure out how I know that. And that was after you told the Knicks you were coming. And then at the 11th hour, you got convinced to roll over to Brooklyn, which might be one of the worst business moves, Mr. 35 Ventures, that we have seen from a basketball superstar in a modern day era. Because when we think about business.
So you guys heard his response. Now look, here's my thoughts. This is hilarious. Kevin Durant didn't mince words. And he probably said what many people were thinking, whether that be people on the internet, right? Fans and those in independent media, and what even some players are thinking as well. Now, this is what irritates me about the media, particularly guys like Stephen A. They want to criticize others, but don't like when criticism is levied towards them.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You critiqued his ability as a leader, which is a vital aspect to his job. So he critiqued your conduct in the way in which you do your job. It's fair. But guys like him, Skip Bayless, and some of these other people in media, as soon as players respond to them, they suddenly get in their feels and act all sensitive. And speaking of sensitive, I don't know if it came up in this clip. I don't think I played it in this clip. But Stephen A kept referencing KD as a sensitive person, and he even said that as he gets older, he's becoming more sensitive. And it's funny because as soon as I saw Kevin Durant's comments, I knew instantly Stephen A would have something to say. And I'm sure many other people, they thought the exact same thing, that when these comments came out, oh, Stephen A. Smith is definitely going to respond. So the fact that we all knew he was going to respond, couldn't it be said that he's also sensitive? When Jason Whitlock called out Stephen A. Smith for the numerous lies in his book, which I covered on a previous episode, who is the person that went on his podcast and insulted Jason Whitlock for an entire episode without addressing or disproving any of his claims? So for him to say KD is sensitive, this is just a pot calling the kettle black, and it's really just him doing a lot of projection. Now, some of these guys on mainstream media, or even just in media in general, they think that they're above it all. And I'm noticing that Stephen A. Smith is becoming arrogant. From his behavior towards Max Kellerman, to the way he treats his colleagues, and how he speaks down on independent creators, and even him hating on Pat McAfee because of how much he's making. It's just not a good look. here's the harsh truth. Guys like Stephen A and even Skip Bayless, you know, guys like them, they behave extra audacious and with bluster to overcompensate for the fact that they never got to be professional athletes or got anywhere close to that level. So this is like their revenge, so to speak. Now, if you don't believe me, look at how Stephen A enters arenas when he's going to the games. He's literally walking and behaving like he's one of the players getting ready to play in the game. And listen to the way Skip spoke about his time working at FS1's Undisputed. He was saying stuff like, "Me and Shannon would just go after it and compete hard against one another." Bro, cut that out. You guys just sat there and debated sports. It's not that deep. But they treat it that way because this is their way of overcompensating for feeling that inadequacy. And this is why it's good that there are a lot more independent creators in the game. See, these journalists are upset that they can't monopolize the media. And even some players, LeBron, they can't pay off media members, allegedly, to spew their propaganda. See, us as independent creators, we can bring balance, share perspectives, and combat the narratives that's being pushed by journalists. Now, speaking of combat and journalists, the final topic that I want to discuss in this episode is Joel Embiid versus this Philadelphia Inquirer columnist. So the columnist in question is Marcus Hayes. So he was recently shoved by 76ers center Joel Embiid because he wrote an article saying the following. Joel Embiid consistently points to the birth of his son, Arthur, as the major inflection point in his basketball career. He often says that he wants to be great, to leave a legacy for the boy named after his little brother, who tragically died in an automobile accident when Embiid was in his first year as a 76er. Well, in order to be great at your job, you first have to show up for work. Embiid has been great at just the opposite. So Joel Embiid, when seeing this columnist, he said this to him. "The next time you bring up my dead brother and my son again, you are going to see what I'm going to do to you, and I'm going to have to live with the consequences." Now, when the columnist apologized, Embiid responded by saying the following, "That's not the effing first time." And then, I'm guessing in this interaction, he proceeded to shove him. So look, I have a few thoughts here. If you read this article, it is blatantly obvious that this guy has an axe to grind and he has an agenda. It's very clear he doesn't like Embiid. Now, I suspect he doesn't like him out of feeling a sense of jealousy, inferiority, or maybe just flat out misery. These journalists are humans too, right? So they also can be miserable and unhappy people. Obviously, not all of them, or not even many of them, but I'm sure there are some that are. But this whole article itself was classless and disgusting. He could have expressed his disappointment or dismay about him missing games without all of the disrespect and bringing up his late brother and his son. Now, I've expressed my disappointment in this podcast, and I haven't been anywhere near as disrespectful. So this columnist, Marcus or Little Marcus, he knew what he was doing. He thought that he could disrespect him and hide behind, "I'm a journalist. I'm just doing my job." Joel Embiid has now been suspended for 3 games for shoving him. And it's crazy how if you look up articles right now, they won't show the full quote of what this guy said about Embiid that led to the shove. And also, the article itself has been updated to remove that part of it. So my first thought is yes, the journalist was being a hater and he was being an asshole. Let's just call it what it is. But here's my second thought. And I want to be very clear before I say what I have to say. I don't advocate, nor do I condone, violence between people of the same gender. And the reason why I say the same gender is because under no circumstances regardless of the case. I will never justify a man putting his hands on a woman or fighting with them. But when it comes to men versus men, right? That to me is different. When it comes to that, I'm talking men versus men combat, and only that, I will say that there is always room for confrontation, right? And sometimes it is necessary as a last resort, but it's a card that should only be the final and last resort. But the card should still be there to be used if necessary. Now, the reason I say this is because, right, and Embiid said this, this wasn't the first time he spoke about him in this way. And the columnist was never reprimanded nor told to stop. He continued, and Embiid shown plenty of restraint. Now, he reached his breaking point. Now, he gave him a little shove, which is really not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. Now, yes, Embiid got suspended for 3 games. But do you think little Marcus will ever bring up his family again in articles? No, he won't. So he accomplished the intended outcome. Now, people may not like this, but it's true. Some people don't react well to dialogue or listen. When someone is too caught up in their own way of doing things, and no matter how much you tell them to stop and they don't listen, then what's left for a person to do? Some egregious acts can't go unchallenged. People can only tolerate so much before they reach their breaking point. So if Embiid needs to give a little shove to Marcus to get his message across, then so be it. And really, this ties into my final thought on this whole situation. What I'm saying now might be deemed controversial or edgy to some people, but I believe it speaks to a larger issue. Men have become weakened. Sometimes this is how we handle conflict resolution. But the problem is we live in such a passive, aggressive, politically correct society where everything is about optics and feelings. It's about how things make us feel and how things look versus what's actually necessary, right? And I think we take that element combined with a very hyper-emotional society. That's why we see people often resorting to weapons as a means of violence rather than the old school classic hand-to-hand combat. Now, I would much rather see two men square up and fight each other with their fists and solve their problem that way than to see one idiot grab a gun and put every single person in their vicinity at risk of being harmed. We've completely demonized hand-to-hand fighting, right? And it's partially why we see an uptick in these violent, sporadic, heat-of-the-moment crimes. Now, here's the thing, and let's use this Joel Embiid situation as an example. Let's just say he didn't like that this columnist is getting too personal. Now, he can speak to the 76ers communications team. They might say, you know, duly noted, but we can't prohibit media personnel from covering the game. Now, maybe at best, the team will tell the chief editor to tell this writer to tone it down. But I'm willing to bet, right, that the chief editor will not tell him to tone it down. Because the reality is, they need these stories to be salacious in order to attract attention and clicks. So Marcus can write these kind of articles and say this type of thing and face no consequences for it. Okay, if that's the case, then Embiid, he can tell the journalist flat out, stop making these articles so personal. But Marcus will continue to do this, and as time goes on, he will only get worse and more emboldened. So at that point, what is Embiid to do? Now, Marcus should be very lucky that it was only a shove instead of a punch. And Embiid should actually be commended that he only resorted to shoving rather than punching, because this situation could have gotten a lot worse. And the reason why I'm very adamant about what I'm saying now is, and you guys believe me, I've witnessed this kind of BS firsthand from when I was growing up, right? And I've seen it where a kid will get picked on at school and then he will tell the teachers and the teachers will do nothing about it. They will tell the principal. The principal might have a talk with the kid, but nothing of consequence will ever happen to deter their behavior. And it continues, and the kid finally fights back and defends himself against the bully. He whoops the bully's ass, and then he ends up getting suspended. And I've watched this happen many times growing up. Now, obviously, it sucks getting suspended, but guess what ends up happening? The bully stops bullying. Now, they might try with someone else, but none of the other kids will take this bully seriously because they all saw him get his ass kicked by the kid he bullied. So that fear factor is gone, right? So look, I'm not condoning violence, right? I'm not saying people need to get out there and start fighting or comparing issues to what happens in the playground growing up. I'm just using it as an example to show that in some occasions, it could be effective as a last resort in some very specific circumstances. But now with today's society of being passive aggressive and politically correct, what I'm saying now, right, as a solution, it can be demonized. Plus, look, I'm gonna be real. People nowadays are so sick and twisted that a fist fight might lead to someone getting a weapon and causing irreversible harm. So it might not even be worth it to even engage in that kind of behavior anymore. Now we need to bring back the good old days of man-to-man combat, or fisticuffs, as the older generation called it. But I get why Embiid did what he did, and he's not wrong for it. Now thankfully it was just a shove and nothing more than that. But the 3-game suspension, like I said earlier, it's all about optics and political correctness. It's par for the course. But I bet now Marcus will be more careful with his words next time and he won't bring up his deceased brother or his son. Now, if I was the Sixers, I would just say he's ready to make his return the next game and then he can, quote unquote, you know, serve his 3-game suspension and then say he's facing complications in his recovery, and then go back on the injury list. You know, that way he misses the 3 games that he was supposed to play in. Wink, wink, right? A little hack in the system there. Now look, I said a lot in this episode, but that's all I got for you guys today. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and share with your people. You can also follow me and the podcast on social media. You can also check out my books. All of the links will be in the description. Until next time.